There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it. There you go.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 1062, September 24th, 2024. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say, Lando shines bright in the night. Red skies at night for Ferrari. Falco had a hit with Vienna Calling. Bobby Rahal has been hit with FBI Calling. We shall explain discreetly. Now back to Mr. Hoover of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Norris crushes the competition. Max swearing is the latest FIA fumble in history. Ferrari overcooked the marinara sauce. And Fernando says Aston Martin needs to kick it up a notch or it's going to be GP2 engine all over again. And this week's interview, a fellow enthusiast Nasser met on some airline somewhere on his travels around the globe, and her name is Tammy Kraft. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, I must remind everyone that yes, we do need your contributions to keep this program alive and on the cloud. So please click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nats, welcome to the studio. How are you?
All is well on the right coast, sir. I am back in Tampa, FLA, and I have booked my flight to Tejas, also known as Texas, for the U.S. Grand Prix in Austin, and I am really, really looking forward to media credentials approval from the FIA. I keep checking on their portal. It says pending, and I am told that is their normal procedure. And maybe 8-10 days before the race, it will turn into approved, hopefully. Now, in case they say access denied, I will still go to the Lone Star State. And then maybe I will thumb a diesel headed for Port Arthur in my faded blue jeans. Let's hear from you. What were the highlights of your visit to your spiritual maison?
Well, obviously, seeing family that I haven't seen in a number of years, visiting the people in general, the little villages of France, and looking at real estate. Yes, I'm thinking of finding a nice little green acres in the country. So if anybody wants to help me out, just give me a call right here at f1weekly.com.
Let's talk about round 18 of 22 of the 2024 Formula One season, coming to a close very soon. Yellow flag in Singapore makes things spicy. Think 2008. This year, for the first time, there was no yellow flag in the Singapore Grand Prix. The end result was Max finished second, over 20 seconds behind Lando. Lando did his best to give the victory to his BFF in the Red Bull by kissing the wall more than once. Surprisingly, Max has never taken victory or pole position in Singapore. He qualified on the front row and many expected him to lead after the opening lap. It was not to be. He was never a threat to Lando throughout the race. A big, big surprise. LCH was lost in free practice but came alive in Q3 to qualify third. Like Max never bothered Lando during the race, LCH never bothered Max. That was pretty much the story of the Singapore Grand Prix 2024 edition. But before we go behind the headlines, let's do a quickie on Colli. The wind was blowing in the way of Woking. Lando Norris was second in free practice 1 to Charles Leclerc and was fastest in both free practice 2 and free practice 3. And that pretty much set the tone. Q1, the usual suspects were out, both Sauber drivers from Finlandia and China. One Alpine driver, this time Gasly, also out, Daddy's Maple Leaf Max, and everybody's sentimental favorite, the Honey Badger. There is a general understanding in the paddock that Aussie Daniel will get a direct torpedo hit after the race in Yas Marina. Could be happening any time now. Q2, surprise was Checo Perez. He did not improve from his last year's grid position and again qualified 13th. Maybe that's his lucky number. Row 6 was all Williams. Colapinto almost matching his much more experienced teammate Alex Albon. Q3, red skies at night for Scuderia Ferrari as Carlos Sainz Jr. goes into the Trek Pro barriers. Misery loves company, so Charles Leclerc joins him on row 5. Wow, the real excitement came in the post-Colli press conference. Max was given a community service assignment for dropping the F-bomb in an earlier press conference. And this is now taking a life of its own. Some people do have a lot of time on hand, I guess. So when it came to the post-Colli press conference, Max was very careful and economical with his words, and it was kind of funny to watch it. Nothing personal, as he said to Tom Clarkson of FIA, who does a very good job of doing these interviews. It's all risky business, so let's listen to how the brief conversation went between Max and Tom Clarkson.
There's been a big difference in performance, Ellie.
A lot.
Can you elaborate in terms of what you've done?
No, I might get fined or get an extra day. So,
well, are you confident, Max, with the race pace?
Maybe.
I mean, how much of a step into the unknown is the race, given the problems you had yesterday in practice?
It's an unknown. Yeah.
Tell us about lining up.
This
along
is not towards you, don't worry.
Okay.
I don't want to upset you.
My two Thai Barts on this. In the heat of the moment, things will go out of control now and then. It is easy for anyone to play Monday morning quarterback while sipping ginger tea in Jamaica. We need to remember, boys will be boys and will behave accordingly. Max may be wrong in the use of foul language, but I totally agree with him. Nobody is twisting FIA's arm to play naughty words on global telly. Just delete such words or bleep them out. They have the technology to do it, and they do it, I think, a pretty good job of bleeping these things out. As your man Fernando Alonso once said, what was meant to be a private message to his engineer at Suzuka when he was driving for McLaren Honda, underline the word Honda, went thermonuclear around the world in 80 seconds. Mr. Rogers, you are a man of foie gras, traction avant, and Provence, where you just came from, which means you have absolute sophistication. Do you have an escargot with what Max said?
The whole thing is ridiculous. Everybody's been cussing in sports since people have been sporting thousands and thousands of years ago. So knock it off, FIA. Like you said, Nasser, they can bleep the F and bleep out of all the bleep and bleeper.
Now we go to the race. What have we seen when Lando Norris is on pole position and Max is next to him, or even behind him? At the end of the opening lap, Lando will not be numero uno. But nothing is forever. For the first time, he led the opening lap from pole position, and I must say, with authority. With the two Mercedes drivers on row 2, it was pretty obvious LCH and GR will be working on the night moves to get ahead. And Oscar Piastri is making a name for himself with his racecraft. So I was expecting a very exciting Singapore firecracker. What we got was Lando doing a Max on Max. Singapore is no Silverstone or Monza in terms of speed. Even though DRS was enabled on lap 2, and this year there were 4 DRS zones, Max was never in a position to do his mojo, which over the years produced scintillating and cage-rattling passes. Here's looking at you, Seb, in Mexico. Your thoughts on the opening lap, sir? Clean getaway for all 20 drivers. Was that a surprise for you?
Indeed, it was a surprise. I mean, Norris is famous for being on pole and not winning, but the numbers start stacking up, and eventually he had to win, and he won in the Verstappen way, 20 seconds ahead. I find it fascinating that McLaren were able to leap forward so quickly in system. Usually this takes, well, years, and they've done it so quickly. And Max has fallen down so quickly. All of this I find very puzzling. It's very head-scratcher-esque. And I'm curious on what history will say about this specific era. But yes, indeed, McLaren leaps and bounds. Red Bull lost forever in a sea of joy. I'm not sure what's going on over there, but it continues. And of course, what's up with Zak Brown and his deep hatred of Red Bull? It keeps coming out subliminally and in the air physically. I don't know. But Norris is on it. He's the new Max. Max is the new heathen who cusses a lot. And things have certainly changed. If Max wins this championship, he will be a lucky chap.
When DRS was enabled on lap 2, Max was within the DRS zone of Lando. But on lap 3, Lando had pulled out over a second in front of Max, and Lewis was falling further behind from Max. In the early race, Albon complained of a dive bomb from his teammate Colapinto. I have to do a Michael Massey for Albon. Alex, it's called a motor race. If Albon is feeling the heat from Colapinto, who has experience of 3 races now, I believe, and looks to be on borrowed time in Formula 1 because of lack of seats for next season, what will Alex do when Carlito joins the team next season? I think one of them will bite the bullet. This is the same feeling I had when Daniel Ricciardo and Lando Norris became teammates at McLaren. In Formula 1, law of the jungle applies. Kill or be killed. Top 10 after lap 10 of 62 were Norris leading, Max second, LCH third. Lando was over 4 seconds ahead of Max, and the Flying Dutchman had the same advantage over Sir Hamilton. They were followed by Russell, Piastri, Hülkenberg, who was doing an outstanding job, Alonso, who is always doing an outstanding job, even when he's parked in Parc Fermé. Then Leclerc, Colapinto, and Checo. With Lando posting fastest laps, the only hope for an exciting race was full course yellow. It is time like these, in places like Singapore, we need Maldonado or Grosjean or Gotifi in the race. Lap 14, man who won the race last year in a very impressive fashion, comes into the pits for tire change, and that would be Senor Carlos Sainz Jr. What were your thoughts at this stage of the race? Were you hoping Hombre in 7th may come through and win the race, as he has done before?
Well, that hope, Nasser, never goes away for Fernando. There's always hope with Nui, Honda. Ooh, it's going to be exciting next year, or should I say the following year. Once Norris took off, I knew the McLaren was so fast because they're cheating. Excuse me, I mean, they've got that secret DRS cheeky wing under there. I'm not sure what's going on over there. It's the new diffuser of some sort. But no, I thought that Max would be happy settling for second. You could tell he was happy because he knows his car is really not that great. Just ask Checo and his papa. So no, it's going to be a tough six races coming up. And luckily for you, you'll be in Austin having lots of steak and potatoes. So keep up the good work, Nasser.
In the case of kick him under down, kick him under up, Danny Rick was running 20th on lap 15. Interestingly, all the top 10 drivers were on medium tires except for one, and that is LCH, who was on soft and came into the pits for tire change on lap 18. And we are now accustomed to him and Leclerc doing that. No matter what you do for them, they are complaining. But, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. Nobody complains when they are running away, building a second a lap lead. Lando's lead over Max after 20 laps was over 14 seconds. We were used to Max having this kind of advantage, but in Singapore, it was pretty obvious his dishes were done. I was expecting Lando's teammate to do a charge of the Papaya Brigade, but on lap 25, he was fourth behind Russell. Lap 29, Lando locks out and brushes the wall. Lucky boy. Not much damage was done, and it did not slow him down. Halfway through the race on lap 31, race leader Lando comes in for new tires, and it was now a McLaren 1-2 as Max had pitted earlier, but Piastri had still to make a pit stop. Leclerc was also planning to do a long haul on medium tires, a strategy that worked for him very, very well in Parco Monza. Lap 33, surprise of the race. George Russell requesting his team over the radio for some encouragement. I'm not sure if he was being sarcastic or feeling down on power and luck. What say you?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm surprised they don't have a pre-recorded message from their mommy. I mean, let's not forget, some of these guys are still in their early 20s. So mommy could be encouraging, suggesting good health and don't forget to eat your porridge. Other than that, not sure what's going on at Mercedes, but they're up, they're down. They're literally the Ozempic team of Formula One.
Lap 37, the leading Ferrari of Charles Leclerc into the pits, and he comes out in 8th ahead of Hülkenberg and behind Machismo. Lap 39, Oscar Piastri makes a pit stop and comes out in 5th. Fresh tires, and the chase is on to get to the podium. One lap later, Piastri says to LCH, "What's up, my brother?" and passes him for 4th. With 20 laps to go, Albon was the only man out of the race, while Colapinto was trying very hard to get into the points and chasing Checo Perez in 10th. Machismo was running a solid 8. Lap 45, Piastri on the podium bypassing George Russell. Same lap, another besame mucho with the wall for Lando, prompting DC to think of Senna in 1988 at Monaco. Lady Luck, no longer with LCH, and I think she has also deserted Max, was with Lando Norris during the Singapore Grand Prix. 3 laps to go, Lando was told to take a drink and full concentration. Lap 50, K-Mac has a puncture which prevented him from collecting any penalties. I was so sorry to see that. His account is now 0 after watching the Azerbaijan Grand Prix on his Samsung High Definition TV. On lap 51, Lando has a huge lead plus extra point for the fastest lap. On lap 60, Visa Cash App RB brings in Daniel Ricciardo for a tire change to put him on a sentimental journey of setting the fastest lap in what has been most likely his final Formula One race. A lot of people are feeling sorry for him, but we can talk on this later. On the final lap, sand in the Vaseline as Lando puts Machismo a lap down. Hombre, who beat Michael Schumacher in back-to-back seasons, is now being put a lap down by Lando, who was 6 years old, when Machismo first became world champion. And this was after Nando qualified on the same row as Yuki Tsunoda in Singapore. Hard times have fallen on some of the greats, but welcome to the world of motor racing. Max, he was happy with second place finish. Damage limitation to his championship lead. He still has a healthy 52-point lead over Lando. No DNF is job number one for Max and Red Bull. There are 6 races and 3 sprints remaining. It can be done, but against Max, both Lando and McLaren cannot afford to have a roundtable conference during a race while Red Bull execute a proper strategy. Piastri was third man on the podium, his 7th of the season. He is also a 2-time winner in 2024, and I think he would be a very strong contender for the championship next season. George Russell was Toto's top dog and finished 4th. Last year he crashed on the final lap while fighting for the lead. Last year Ferrari won the race with Carlos Sainz Jr. On Sunday the best they could do was 5th for Charles Leclerc. LCH had qualified in the top 3 rows of each and every Singapore Grand Prix, which is very impressive. Sunday he was 6th in the race, but a whopping 85 seconds behind race winner. That hurts, I am sure. 2023 winner Sainz Jr. was 7th. The remaining point scorers were a lap down, led by Machismo in 8th, Nico Hülkenberg was 9th for Haas, and 10th was his ex-teammate Checo Perez. Logan Sargeant's replacement Franco Colapinto continued to bring the car home. He was the first driver out of the points. Mr. Rogers was the 2024 Singapore Grand Prix inspiring and exciting for you?
No, it was nothing like that, of course. I was impressed by no crashing, no Logan Sargeant, no Pastor Maldonado or Latifi, but and the dominance and the quick dominance by McLaren is still blowing my mind. I'm having a hard time grasping all this sudden change, but I'm dealing with it. And of course, Fernando, very static, always in the same spot. Let's hope that this ends this season so we can see Machismo on the podium just like in 2023.
The last time McLaren won 2 races in a row was 2012, when LCH won the US Grand Prix in Austin, which I believe was the inaugural Austin Grand Prix, and JB won the Brazilian Grand Prix at Interlagos. McLaren has done a tremendous recovery from the days of their GP2 engine, followed by Renault Power. Even with Mercedes engines, it took them some time to get going, but now the Papaya team is ruling the racetracks. Kudos to Zak Brown, who took a lot of flack in the years gone by, and to the entire McLaren crew. Once again, I have to ask you, Mr. Rogers, with the performance of the McLaren car on Sunday, do you think Max may go without a win this season? What say you?
Oh, there are no more wins for Max. It's over. Second banana is what he needs to do over and over and over again, at least a half a dozen times, and he can hold on to the championship. But one DNF, and you know what that means. Sayonara, adios, Alvitersen, my friend.
Now let's take a look at the championship with 6 races to go. Lando has 279 points, so he's still behind Max, who is sitting pretty on 331. Do you think Max has championship number 4 in Kelly Piquet's Prada bag? And the only thing he has to fear is fear itself? Or is there more to the story?
Oh, you know there's more to the story. We want to hear the rest of the story. So, yes, I can't wait for everything to come out because there is something bizarre about what's going on. The quick changes, who's up, who's down. I'm not sure what's going on, Nasser, but the truth will come out.
In the Constructors' Championship, McLaren leads with 516 points over Red Bull on 475 points. You know, I was thinking Red Bull were complaining about Sergio Perez's lack of performance in the early stages. I think they must be very happy now that he did not win two or three races and finished ahead of Max in a couple of other races in the early season. If that was the case, Max would be in a deep doo-doo with the McLaren package coming so strong now. Strong and reliable, which I have to say most of the cars are these days. McLaren has not won Constructors' Championship since 1998. That is when Mika Hakkinen and DC were driving for them. So it's been a long, long time. If they win the Constructors' Championship this year, I think Mr. Zak Brown will get a nice bonus from the Bahraini owners of McLaren Formula One team. And regardless of who wins, Mr. Rogers will be dishing out bonus checks with lots of zeros. So we all look forward to it. Okay, sir, if you have anything to add, you may do so. Otherwise, let's take a Aquafina break. And we shall return shortly and gladly.
On that note, Nasser, why don't we take a quick break? And let's hear from these brief messages.
Hi, I'm Felipe Massa. You are listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Okay, sir, we go back to our normal stuff. Greetings and racing regards to start the Motorsports Mondial. And today, an interesting conversation. I was at the Frankfurt airport trying to sort out my canceled flight with Lufthansa when I met Miss Tammy Kraft, and we had a very nice conversation. Both of us were heading to the same destination, Parco Monza. So I would like to thank Tammy for her help in navigating the metro system in Milano and getting us safely and on time to our respective hotels near Linate Airport. And I also had the chance to meet her husband when we got to the Linate Airport. It was nice meeting both of them. And I hope listeners enjoy our conversation with Tammy.
Okay, folks, as we all know, misery loves company. I fly into Frankfurt and my flight is canceled. I'm suffering, waiting for the Lufthansa customer service to open early in the morning, but somebody beat me to the line, and that was Miss Tammy Kraft. And Tammy Kraft, you tell our listeners, where are you going?
So I am flying into Milan, and from Milan, I'm going to Monza. And it just so happened that as we were standing in line trying to find out how we could get to Milan, that we discovered our shared passion.
And you are totally in love with Formula One now, and your husband too, who is not here, waiting for you at Monza. How did you discover the beautiful world of Formula One?
So, several years ago, my husband said, babe, you got to watch this F1 Netflix series. I don't think so, honey. I'm not into cars. No, you got to watch it. I sat down and we binged the entire season in one day. And I was hooked.
Now, at this time, was your husband already into motor racing?
Right. So, yeah, John has loved, yeah, you name it, he's loved it. All kinds of cars, motorcycles, so. But it just wasn't my thing.
You know, in few seasons of Netflix, it has done for Formula One globally and especially here in the United States, which nothing could do in the past 50 years, not even the Caesars Grand Prix in the parking lot of Caesars Palace. Tell me, what really got you interested? What was so unique or interesting that captivated you from the Netflix series? So, was it Gunther Steiner?
Oh, he was great. I loved him. No, but it was the human interest. So I think that show did a phenomenal job to show you not only the organization around the drivers, but the personalities on the paddock. So it wasn't only featuring major drivers, but it featured a little bit of everybody. And for women especially, it was that human interest segment that, I mean, you got to know their personalities. And so I think you kind of feel like you know them, and that's what Netflix brought
out. Okay. What was your first Grand Prix that you went to, and what was your first impression?
So we went to Monza last year, and it was kind of on a whim. We just happened to be in Italy, and so we bought cheap tickets. I let my husband be in charge of the tickets. So we bought the cheapest tickets, which you had to be outside, you know, the fence. But just the passion of the Italians, the passion, like even in the little bars as we're going, you know, everybody's got their Ferrari shirts on, the big flags. I loved how congenial the fans were. They were just kind. They all different fans rooting for the different teams. But to me, the most impressive thing was the flyover with the Italian colors coming out of the planes. That just gave me chills. It was just, I don't know. It was beautiful.
Frecce Tricolori, as they call it. Now, I remember watching this at my first Grand Prix at Monza in 1982. Very, very impressive. Have you been to other races also?
No, that was my only one.
And so this is going to be your second. And I understand you are going to a MotoGP event also.
Right. So we will do Monza this weekend and then MotoGP in next weekend. So.
Very good. Now, most racing fans, they have a diehard, they are diehard fans of a driver or a team. What's your story and what's your husband's story on this side?
I think we're just passionate about the sport. I mean, I haven't really decided. I loved Lewis Hamilton and kind of hated Max Verstappen. But then you saw Max's personality and you saw what a great driver he was. And then you kind of started to think maybe Hamilton was a crybaby. So, I mean, you know, I don't think I have a favorite driver, but I don't know. Love them all.
Okay. Yeah, we have three races in the U.S. Do you have any plans to attend any of these?
No.
Where do you want to go?
So I think our next race, I'd like to do Abu Dhabi, or I'd like to go to a country that I've not been to before. So most of the European countries I've already been to, so I want to see a race, I don't know, somewhere, yeah.
Have you been to Azerbaijan?
No, but that would be on my list too.
Great. Now, do you follow American IndyCars or NASCAR also?
No. No.
No. Okay.
I mean, I really don't follow racing at all. I wouldn't even say I follow F1. I follow the drivers, I follow the teams, kind of the glamour of the sport. So.
Now, obviously, Logan Sargeant lost his ride. What's your take on that? Are you sad that only American is no longer there?
No, but I just feel sorry for the kid because that has got to be so devastating, like halfway through the season. And you're kicked out of a sport that you love. I mean, as a mother, my heart just goes out to him. Like, so anyway.
Okay, what about girl power in racing? There's a lot of push to bring in ladies into racing. Do you see any female who you think, based on performance, can get there?
Well, see, now that's what I would have to ask you, because that was going to be one of the questions, was what is happening with a lot of these young women coming in to Formula One? I don't know. I mean, I'm just starting to see their names pop up, but I don't know that much about it. I mean, again, I just kind of think F1 is a male-dominated sport. I just would like to only see males in it, but that's me.
Yeah, I think Mr. James Brown was right. It's a man's world.
I do too.
But I'm sure it will change when some. And there have been some very good lady drivers, you know, Michelle Mouton and Shirley Maldani. I think it's really a case of numbers game. That's what it is.
I think so too.
But it makes.
Do you think it will be as popular? Do you think just like women's basketball is not as popular as men's basketball, women's soccer isn't as popular as men's soccer? But do you think women drivers integrated into the F1 world will be? They'll be as popular?
It can be. It really depends on the performance. And I mean, you look at it. You know, Nyck de Vries. Young kid, very talented, did not work out, so he's out. Logan Sargeant, he's a very good driver, karting world champion, did not work out, so he's out. So it will take some time, I think, but the job has to be done on the track, not in marketing media and all the hoopla that goes on. You know, whatever I have a problem is they're trying to promote drivers, whether they're girl or female or whatever, who really cannot even win in Formula 3. How on earth they're going to get to Formula 1? So now I want to ask you a question. Now that you're totally hooked on Formula 1, are you spreading the gospel of Grand Prix racing?
Yes, but it's hard to get a lot of my friends to even engage, which is, I mean, another year from now, when it really catches on in the States, I don't think it'll be a problem. But I have said to many of my friends, hey, you need to get into this so we can go to some of these races together. But it just has not caught on with my set of people yet. I don't know.
Now, have you ever been to Belgium?
I've been to Belgium, but I've not been to the Grand Prix.
Well, if you want to see the most beautiful track in the world, it's called Spa-Francorchamps. And trust me, I was there once for the race, once just to check it out. It's an incredible place. Another race I would highly recommend you do, and you have to see it in person to get the really how awesome it is. It's the Indy 500. Do you have any interest in that big event?
No. I just don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Seeing is believing. That's all I will say.
I just don't think so.
Okay, now.
I mean, that's just where they just go around and around and around, right?
The speed and the intensity, it will get your attention.
Okay.
Let me tell you that. Okay, now, finally, we always ask everybody, how about a message to our listeners who can listen to you from America to Australia? What do you have to say about the sport or any observation on motor racing?
That is a good question. I think that it's an intelligent sport. That's why it's a thinking sport. So it's not a sport that at first glance you would think that it's just guys getting into a car, but it's a very technical sport. I love the engineering behind it. And so, you know, there's strategy. Yeah, I would just say keep watching.
Good message. Thank you so much.
Okay, now we move on to action on track. IMSA, battle on the brakes, 6-hour race in Indianapolis. I was supposed to go to this race, Mr. Rogers, but had to take care of some family issues in MD, so could not go. Anyway, Bobby Rahal's BMW team took first and second, while Penske Porsche was third. Last week, Rahal's team, headquartered in Zionsville, Indiana, was raided by FBI with assistance from local PD, police department. All employees were told to leave the building without their laptops and other devices. According to a report on racer.com by Marshall Proward, who knows what's happening in American racing scene, the raid is related to theft of IP, intellectual property, from Michael Andretti's IndyCar team by an engineer who left that team to join Rahal's team. So we will keep you updated, and hopefully this will be resolved without anybody going behind bars or anything like that. MotoGP from Marco Simoncelli Circuit at Misano Adriatico. Winner was local chap Enea Bastianini for Ducati after a little push and shove with Spanish rider Jorge Martin. Marc Marquez was third. Martin leads the championship with 341 points. Paco Bagnaia is second on 317 points. Bastianini is third with 282 points, and Marquez is fourth, 1 point behind. Next round is this weekend in Indonesia. Now, sir, we go back to Formula One for some reflection on motorsports in the Marina Bay, and that's the Singapore Grand Prix, if I may call it track or street circuit. Singapore was Formula One's first night race, brokered by Lord of the Ring, Bernard Ecclestone, and what magical orchestral maneuvers in the dark we had in the inaugural event in 2008. Who can forget the anaconda attached to Felipe Massa's Ferrari as he left the pits, and a way too convenient crash into the wall by Nelsinho, which led to an incredible victory by Machismo. It will not be till the following season the walls will come tumbling down on Renault team. Sebastian Vettel is the most successful driver in Singapore, winning 5 times. In 2017, night moves gone wrong at the start.
And it's lights out, away we go. Verstappen gets an excellent start. Sebastian Vettel will need to cover him off. Kimi Räikkönen on the inside. And he's crashed with Verstappen. He's hit Vettel as well. Räikkönen is out before the first corner, and he's gone into the Red Bull there as well. Carnage as Fernando Alonso gets involved.
Seb collided with his teammate Kimi Räikkönen and Max, and this was right at the start before they could get to the first corner. LCH went on to win the race for Mercedes. He also won in Singapore with McLaren in 2009. Alonso also won here with two different teams, Renault and Ferrari. Sebastian is third driver to win in Singapore with more than one team, in his case Red Bull and Ferrari. Next, Weldon wins. Last year, Sebastian Weldon, son of the late Dan Weldon, won the Skip Barber Racing Championship. This year, his second son, Oliver, is the champion in the same series. Both these drivers are under the wings of Michael Andretti. Their father, Dan, was driving for Michael Andretti's team when he had that tragic accident in the season finale at Las Vegas in 2014, a very sad day, of course. More F1 news. Red Bull head of race strategy, a chap by the name of Will Courtney, I believe is the name, he has been with Red Bull for 14 years and is now joining McLaren as sporting director. So McLaren and all these teams are poaching people from Red Bull. Wonder who will be left there in 2026. In this move by Mr. Courtney, he is the third member of the senior Red Bull management who is leaving the team in the past 6 months. And, sir, we have a Sargent sighting, your favorite driver. Logan Sargent, I am told, will be testing with Meyer Shank Racing in this ritzy 1% track, Thermal Park, I believe it is called, in Southern California for a possible seat in IndyCars next season. And I think the track activities for his testing will take place sometime in November. And that's what the report is. But we'll keep an eye on him. And of course, we wish him well. Now we come to famous last word, sponsored in full by NVIDIA's AI chip. Today they come from Honey Badger. He was sweet and sour after being knocked out in Q1. Asked about his chances in the race, he said, and I quote, "Hopefully we get a well-timed safety car. Bring PK back and let's make it happen." End quote. Mr. Rogers, let me say what you say. Oh, the memories. PK Jr. was the victim, which we found out many months later. But there was a winner in the hot and steamy night in Singapore. Who could that be? The one and only Teflon Don. And sir, as we come to the end of the podcast, once again, if you would like to share some parting thoughts, we are all ears. Otherwise, let's hear from the top three in the Singapore Grand Prix. Thank you for listening, and till we meet again in Palatial Studios. Bye-bye.
Oscar, after what was a challenging qualifying, a really feisty race, some great overtakes, and a well-deserved podium. Congratulations. Put us in the cockpit. How was it?
Warm is how it was. It was a good race, a good recovery from qualifying yesterday. It wasn't my greatest afternoon yesterday, so to get back to the podium is a great result. I feel like we had a really quick car underneath us and a good strategy to get past the Mercedes. So, big thank you to the team. Clearly the car was exceptional this weekend and some great points for the whole team.
We saw your teammate having a couple of brushes with the walls. I didn't see any for you, but did you have any particular standout moments of difficulty during that race?
No, I think I kept it off him this time. I don't think I hit anything. It was a bit close with George at turn one, but once I got into third, I had a massive gap to try and close up, so I didn't want to take too many risks. But yeah, I feel like I've brushed enough walls in the last 2 weeks, so hopefully the mechanics don't have to change too many bits before next race.
Okay, well, Oscar, well done. Enjoy the podium celebration.
Thank you.
And then now our second place finisher, Max Verstappen. The sweat on your brow shows just how hard you had to work in that Grand Prix. Lando was in another class this race. Tell us, your Grand Prix, you had a difficult start, very close with Lewis at the first corner, and thereafter it was a fairly lonely race.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much my race, just by myself. Yeah, trying to do the best I could, trying to manage my own pace to the end. I think the first stint was a bit difficult for us, quite a bit of tire degradation. The second stint was a bit better. I was a bit more comfortable as well. So, yeah, that's, I think on a weekend where we knew that we were going to struggle to be P2 is a good achievement. Of course, we're not happy with second. Now we just have to try and improve more and more, and that's what we'll try to do.
With Daniel Ricciardo getting the fastest lap right at the end, that meant that the point swing is now 52 points, where it could have been 51. It's being ebbed away, your championship lead.
Yeah, it is, but this also can change very quickly again, so we just need to keep on trying, at one point try to overturn it a bit, you know, not always finishing behind, but we'll see how that goes.
And physically, we can see the sweat on your brow, I presume you're soaked through. Just how tough was that race?
It's always tough around here, warm, and a very long race in general, so I'm looking forward to a bit of rest.
Okay, well, enjoy that and enjoy the podium. And finally, our race winner in what looked like a dominant, dominant victory. Lando, congratulations.
Thank you. It was an amazing race. A few too many close calls. You know, I had a couple little moments in the middle, but was well controlled, I think, otherwise. And the car was mega, so I could push. We were flying the whole race, and at the end, could just chill. So it was a nice race, still tough. I'm a bit out of breath, but a very fun one.
But you definitely earned your money today. The gap you had, though, did put our hearts in our mouths when we saw you have two brushes with the wall, an overshoot in one of the corners where you just touched the front wing, and then you had a little tap as well of the barrier. Did you need to be pushing that hard, given the gap that you had?
I mean, it's not that you're necessarily over-pushing. Sometimes it can be that you're just chilling too much. Maybe it was a bit of both. I don't know what it is, but it's tricky, you know. It was still tough out there, easy to lock the tires like I did, so I still pushed. I didn't want to have a 1 second lead, I wanted to have the biggest lead possible. So was good fun, maximum points. Nice to have Oscar here too on the podium. He drove well today, so a good day for the team also.
So your third victory in Formula One, physically your toughest?
Similar to Qatar last year, but I mean, I wasn't taking it easy. I could have taken it a lot more easy. So, a little dizzy at the minute, but all good.
All good. Oh, well, Lando, it's a fantastic victory. I think I might have a solution if you're feeling dizzy.
Oh, no.
You feeling better? I'll take a hug from a winner. Congratulations, Lando. Enjoy the podium.
To be honest, that is not the worst thing David Coulthard could do for anyone. And if he's got any more water, he might want to be chucking it over some more drivers, because clearly an exhausting Singapore Grand Prix tonight, not just without a safety car, the 15th running of the Singapore Grand Prix.